Even if you don't mention it out loud, can you think of a couple of things that you want to be remembered for? No. You can name one or two. So when we think about famous people, what do we remember them for? Let me give you some examples. What do we remember Abraham Lincoln for? Being shot? Anything else? Say that again. And slavery. Yeah, ending slavery. Anything else? He was the first Republican. I don't think I knew that. All right. What do we remember John Adams for, Massachusetts people? Building the country's foundations. Signing the Declaration of Independence. He was from Massachusetts. What do we remember Tom Hanks for? Okay. Forrest Gump. Walt Disney being Saving Mr. Banks. Obviously, I'm a fan. I watch almost all his movies. Can't wait for his new one coming out. What do we remember Rosa Parks for? Speaking out and giving up her seat. Yeah, not giving up her seat. On the bus. Yeah, wait, that didn't come out right. On the bus. George, be quiet. What do we remember Tom Brady for? Football. What else?
Jumping off cliffs with his kids.
Jumping off cliffs with his kids. Okay, George, you get two things. What do we remember Tom Brady for?
I can think of six things.
I know. Two. Say it again.
The greatest quarterback in the history of the football.
According to? At least the media, Ken says. He's defying. Boy, Claire, that's old age. I know, but it's like I didn't feel. Yeah. He's got longevity. So a couple of weeks ago, we had, or was it only last week? We had a funeral for our beloved Kathy. And there were a lot of things that she was remembered for. Can you think of the things that were mentioned or things that you think of? Baking, burning the cookies. Yeah. Her smile.
And I want to remember her for her love for the church. And, you know, if she asked anybody to eat a ride or anything, she'd be like, to go home.
Anyone else? Crocheting, caring for her grandchildren, very giving. There were so many things mentioned, and there were things that were fun and surprising, like the burnt cookies, which her niece called Cajun style because they were blackened. Those of you that weren't at the service, it was great. So when we think of people that have gone before us, we think of things that we remember. Don't we? When my mother passed away, there were things I remembered. Some were similar to Kathy. She burned almost everything she cooked. But I remember how much she loved me. And I remember how hard she worked. Yeah. There are people I'm sure that you can think of and go, yeah, I remember this and this and this. Unfortunately, our memory of negative things hopefully fades a little bit, at least. My story, that's what I wrote down here. So years and years and years ago, I was going through a time of really having my priorities focused in the wrong places. Not terrible places, mind you, but I cared about things that were just silly. And mostly it was caring about people's opinions that got me in a lot of spiritual trouble. And one day I came across a book, and I started to read the book. It was a bestseller at the time. It was just a book on leadership. And the first chapter talked about what would people say about me at my funeral if I died today? What would they say? I started to think about that. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. And I thought, I'm not happy with what they would say. Because I was really tied up in myself. I was really tied up in putting my time and energy into things that just weren't really that important. And then the next part of the chapter said, what would you want them to say? What would you want them to be able to say because it's true? That little piece of that chapter of that book, I never read the rest of the book. I was so transfixed on that idea that it changed my life. Because I realized that the things I had been focusing on, I didn't care. I didn't care whether they remembered me for those things. I, at the time, this is when I was heavily into competing on horseback, and I wanted desperately to be recognized for it. I wanted to be a champion. I wanted. And in that moment of clarity, when I was thinking about what would I want to be remembered for, I realized I didn't care whether they remembered that I was a good horse rider. That doesn't matter. I wanted people to remember things that made a difference in their lives. It changed my life. It was almost as strong as a word from God. In fact, He used that book to speak to me in a very powerful way. What actually matters? Does it matter what we're remembered for? Does it matter? Of course it matters. Of course it matters. But let's grapple with this passage and see what we can learn. I'm going to read the whole passage. Mercedes got off really easily because I just gave her the summaries of each section because I was selfish and I wanted to go through it with you myself. Okay, so this is chapter 13. It's our final chapter in Nehemiah. And it's a summary in a lot of ways of what came before. Listen to the passage. Remember the things, as we've done this series that we spent quite a bit of time on, that Nehemiah and the people did. Count the number of times Nehemiah says, remember. Okay, got that? On that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people, and there it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly of God, because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Our God, however, turned the curse into a blessing. When the people heard this law, they excluded from Israel all who were of foreign descent. You remember? We talked about this. Before this, Eliashib the priest had been put in charge of the storerooms at the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil prescribed for the Levites, musicians, and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priests. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and musicians responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Then I called them together and stationed them at their post. You remember that he did this to bring order back into the temple. All Judah brought the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil into the storerooms. I put Shemaiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and a Levite named Pedaiah in charge of the storerooms, and made Hanan son of Zakur, the son of Mataniah, their assistant, because they were considered trustworthy. They were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their fellow Levites. Remember me for this, my God, and do not blot out what I have so faithfully done for the house of my God and its services. In those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on donkeys together with wine, grapes, figs, and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore, I warned them against selling food on that day. People from Tyre who lived in Jerusalem were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them in Jerusalem on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this wicked thing you are doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your ancestors do the same thing so that our God brought all this calamity on us and on this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath." When evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until Sabbath was over. I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be brought in on the Sabbath day. Once or twice, the merchants and sellers of all kinds of goods spent the night outside Jerusalem. But I warned them and said, "Why do you spend the night by the wall? If you do this again, I will arrest you." From that time on, they no longer came on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember me for this also, my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love. Moreover, in those days I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half their children spoke the language of Ashdod or the language of one of the other peoples and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. There's a picture. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, "You are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. Must we hear now that you too are doing all this terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women?" One of the sons of Joiada, son of Eliashib the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite, and I drove him away from me. Remember them, my God, because they defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. So I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. I also made provision for contributions of wood at designated times and for the first fruits. Remember me with favor, O God, my God. How many times? Four times. What do you notice? What do you notice? Three times, these were the ones Mercedes read, three times Nehemiah asked God to remember him because of what he has done to honor him. One time, he asked God to remember the people who defiled the priestly office. What do we take away from this passage? First of all, realize God thinks about us. Did you know that? Did you know he thinks about us? How does that make you feel? Sometimes we don't want him to think about us. Right? It's like, don't do that. Most of you know my favorite psalm is 139, verses 17, 18. And I'm going to use the alternate translation. There's a debate about this, and I'm going to add two words. How precious to me are your thoughts, and here are the two words, about me, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Let that sink in. He thinks about us so many times. He has that many thoughts. Been to the beach? Outnumber the grains of sand. Next time you're at the beach, pick up a handful and give it some thought. That's how much he thinks about us. That's how much he remembers us. Realize that what matters is not what people remember about us. That's not what matters at all. What matters is that God remembers us. Are you worried how he will remember you? You shouldn't be. Don't worry about that. Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 103:11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Many of you have heard this verse. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's a long way to remove our transgressions, as far as the east is from the west. There was a song quite a few years ago by Casting Crowns that says, Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? Because I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy, I find rest. You know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. One scarred hand to the other. Because of Jesus, we don't have to worry about punishment for our sins. When we accept him as Lord and Savior and we confess our sins, we are forgiven. That's good news. So what will God remember? Since he's blotting out all of that, what is he going to remember? Good things. Good things, righteous deeds, the ways that we have served him. There's a parable in the book of Matthew that Jesus tells, and this is the one with the sheep and the goats, for those of you that know Scripture well. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. So do you want to be a sheep? You want to be a sheep or a goat? Good answer. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever, many of you know this, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Everything that we do to serve, to take care, to have compassion, to be the hands and feet and love of Jesus. Everything is what Jesus is going to remember. Do we want Jesus to remember how we have done these things? Well, then we have to do it. We have to do it. We're called to feed the hungry. We're called to take care of our senior citizens with transportation needs so they're not isolated. We're called to reach out and to love like Jesus loved. If you died today, if I died today, what would Jesus remember that we did for him? Because in the end, that's all that matters. That's all that our priorities get so messed up. We need to look honestly at ourselves to say, if I died today, just like the book that I read, but this twist, what would Jesus remember that I did for him? And then to ask ourselves, what do I want him to be able to say? And then to act on it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I'd like for you to watch a video of a new song, newer song, that is called Only Jesus. And it speaks of our legacy, because when we leave, we talk about the legacy that we leave behind. And see if this touches you in the way it touches me.